Can y'all hear me okay? Yeah? I was just wondering. Sandy says don't sound like it. I was just wondering because I only heard you say good morning, Johnny. You know, people, some people, Scotty and different ones, they make fun of me or mock because I get up here and I usually always say good morning, you know, good to see you. What am I supposed to say? Yeah. I mean, I start my own services. I could have you start doing them, Johnny, I guess. So I just always like good morning, good to see you. God is good, amen. All the time, he's so good. Even when we're not good, he's still good. He loves us not because we're worthy, but because he's that good. Glory to God. I told Scotty on the way over here, I said, I hate it when it's like this. He said, no, I always like it. And I'm like, you don't even know what I'm talking about. He said, well, you don't have a line upon line. I said, no, I got four messages. I said, and I hate it when it's like that. And a lot of times the reason why it'll be like that is because sometimes we are in like unity. We're all pretty much to the same growing and different things like that. Then there's other times that we look kind of like a heart monitor. We go boop, 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 boop. And how many of us, God is set to minister to each and every person that comes. Amen. And also every person that's listening by way of internet. Because sometimes we have people, a lot of people, that they have their own church, but when they get home, they'll listen to us too. And God is faithful to each and every one. So we're just going to be led this morning. I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but he does, right? The Bible says that we have an anointing, and that anointing teaches us, and it causes us to know all things, right? And we know the anointing is a he. Glory to God. But I thought about a title for this, and it's just for a reason why a lot of times we put titles on things is for reference. But I thought about titling this morning, The Gospel in Exchanged Life. Some people think the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many of us, that's not the gospel. That's their accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. A lot of people think that Jesus preached the gospel. Actually, when Jesus came, what you'll find that he preached and he taught was the kingdom and repentance and love. Some say love and acceptance. You'll never find that in the scriptures. He did not preach love and acceptance. He preached love and repentance. Some people think today if we love them, then that means I have to accept you and all of your mess. No, we don't. Right? God doesn't accept us in all of our mess. He accepts us, makes us accepted in the Beloved, and then we walk with him and he begins to get rid of our mess. Right? So I guess I would title this, The Gospel in Exchanged Life. If you got your Bible, let's look at Romans 5. And I got this whole chapter wrote down here, and I really don't want to read the whole chapter. So I may do quite a bit of paraphrasing on this because how many of you can write this down? You can go back and read the whole chapter yourself, study the whole chapter, or you can go back and listen to the messages on the internet or Facebook, right? Because I got 45 minutes. And Scotty says don't take 46. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now here in Romans chapter 5, it starts out talking about that where he says, verse 1, he says, therefore being justified, how? By faith. Faith is we believe what God has said. The Bible says, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 2, that it says that we are saved by grace through faith. Now, grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is everything that God has done for us, to us, will do through us, and given us. See, because without the blood, ain't none of us going to be righteous. So you'll hear people, sometimes I've invited people to church, you know, and they say, well, when I get rid of this. Or, you know, I had one, he said, well, if I come to church, you know, the house would fall in or whatever because they think they're so bad or whatever. But see, it's not that. You can't get good enough. You can't get good enough after you get born again. According to Scripture, the Bible says any of mine and your and anybody else's what we consider to be righteousness is as filthy rags. And if you study that, you know what that means. I'm not going to say what that means, but you know what that means. Terrible. So Paul said that I would be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, or by the do's and the don'ts, but I would be found in him having his righteousness, right? So he says here in verse 1 that we are justified by faith, by what we believe. See, there's none of us, after we get born again, that are justified in ourselves. Sometimes when we feel like we're doing good, y'all know what I mean by that, don't you? You feel like you're crossing all the I's. I mean, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. You know, you think you've been doing pretty good. How many knows we're not really doing all that good? We are to where we are, but then God will say, yeah, you're good for where you are, but look at this. You're like, oh, man, I thought I was doing good. Because there's always another level that we're supposed to be going to. There's a lot of people that think getting born again is all there is. Getting born again, you just started. The Bible says when we get born again, we're born again as newborn babes in Christ. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Every one of us, the day we get born again, from that time until the day that we leave here, one way or another, we are supposed to be growing and developing our spirits and working those things out through the Word of God, the transformation of our minds to where our spirit dominates the body and the soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That salvation has come on the inside of you. It's healing. It's not just salvation. When you look it up, it means healing. It means deliverance. It means freedom from sin, freedom from fear. All of that, we're supposed to grow and develop until all of that is worked out through our spirit, our soul, and our body. That's a job. But God is up for it. And we don't do that ourselves. We work with Him. We yield to Him. Whatever He says to us, right? Whatever we read in the Word. But He says that we're justified by faith. Faith is whatever God has said, we believe it. The Bible says that we are saved by grace, which is His unmerited favor. There's nothing you could possibly do to get that. We get that just because God is that good. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before God ever made Adam and Eve in the earth, He knew exactly what was going to happen. That's why Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Because God in His great love for us knew exactly what mankind would do. Right? They would sin. They would violate what He told them. So He had to put them out of the garden because He couldn't allow them to eat from that tree of life. They would have stayed in that state forever. And mankind would have been doomed. See, some people think it was bad of God to put them out. No, God's love is what put them out. Because He had a plan of redemption that was coming on down the line. So we're saved by what God has done for us and given for us. And because He's slain, the Bible says it pleased God to bruise Him. Right? So He didn't have to, me and you. Everything that happened to Him, God had it done. So it didn't have to happen to me and you. Right? But the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. By us believing that Jesus was that sacrifice. If you've been born again somehow or another, what's called the Rhema Christos. Faith comes how? By hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Remember I've told you before when you begin to study that, it means the word there, hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it means the Rhema anointed or the Christos Word of God. Not every Word of God causes faith, right? But it's the anointed Rhema that is to you. And you take that and you hold on to that, just like Scotty, I've heard the testimony, and myself or whatever. The way he got born again, you know, it was the same thing that we had always done, trouble, I'm gone, all that stuff and everything, and he's going to commit suicide, and he hears his brother's words. His brothers are not there. How many knows the Bible said it's the Holy Ghost that brings the Word back to our remembrance? Not just only the written Word of God, but any word that God has ever spoken. He heard his brother's words say, God loves you, God's good, he'll help you. And when he, how many knows, that was the Rhema Christos to him. I didn't hear it, but it was to him. And when he heard that, faith came. Faith always comes when the Rhema Christos comes. And when faith came, he cried out to God and he said, God, if you're really real, like they say you are, help me. I mean, it doesn't have to be some kind of big religious prayer. It has to be the intent of the heart. The Apostle Paul probably prayed one of the shortest prayers for born-again salvation as anybody has ever prayed. Who are you, Lord? Right? And he was born again. And he began to Jesus began to reveal himself of who he was to him. But anyway, that came to him, and bam, he was born again. Well, the way that I got born again, most of you's heard the story. One of the things that I was always looking for was fun and joy because my life was sad. Bad. Anyway, one day I was watching TV and just so happened to be TBN. I didn't know it was TBN at the time because it wasn't a religious program that was playing. It was these teenagers, or maybe they was probably 18, 19, maybe some of them in their 20s, something like that. Anyway, and they're playing volleyball. And then they get through playing volleyball and they begin to talk about Jesus. And the Rhema Word of God came to me. And I knelt down at my mother-in-law's couch and I got born again. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the anointed Rhema Word of God to you. See, that's how come I can be up here talking. And we know the anointing is a person, right? He is the Holy Spirit. I can be up here talking and he can cause you to hear one thing, Sandy. Cause you to hear something else, Johnny. Cause Darcy to hear something else. Cause Jennifer to hear something else. Right? Because it's not me that's the one that does it. But it'll be the Rhema to Johnny. It'll be the Rhema to Sandy. Out of one message. He can cause you to hear things I didn't even say. Oh, he's so good. But he said we're justified by faith. You can't ever try to be justified or made righteous by any other thing other than Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. That's it. Now, he goes on talking here, and he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, notice, by faith, into this grace, that's unmerited favor, we didn't deserve it, wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope, or you could say confident expectation, of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Oh, my, my, my. We're going to take a little side note here. What you laughing at, Darce? He said, we glory in tribulations. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's a work for me today. There's times I do and there's times that I don't. But I am endeavoring to glory in them more and more. See, the Apostle Paul, he said, a messenger of Satan has been sent to buffet me because of the many revelations. And then he goes on down and he says, if I glory in anything, he said, I'm going to glory in my weaknesses. He said, in my weaknesses, in my infirmities, in my trials, in my tests, in the things that I don't know. He said that the... He said, because when I am weak, then he's strong. See, he shows up real good. One of the reasons why God uses people that we would not choose for certain things is because he shows up real good. Because, see, people look at me and they're like, and Scotty, and they're like, we know that's got to be God. People that knew us before. People that know you, Richard, they'll say, we know that's got to be God because we know Richard. Paul said, we know no man after the flesh anymore. Right? Why? Because now we're not after the flesh. But he said, we glory in tribulations. Let's go on with that. Also, know something, he says, that tribulation does what? Works patience. James said the same thing. That tribulations works patience. He said, but you let patience have its perfect work. Or we could say, translate that, do its complete job. The Bible says that adversity, I believe it's over in Proverbs, is a chisel in the hand of God. According to Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4, or maybe chapter 5, that says, we have been recreated in righteousness and true holiness in the likeness of God. How many knows where that's at? Right down in here. Do you know your spirit's right in here? It's the very core of your being. That is the place in your born-again spirit where you are recreated in true righteousness and holiness. Now, there's some things that you may cause yourself tribulation. If I just come up and smack you, Samantha, right on your lips, I'm probably going to cause some tribulation for myself. Especially if you ain't full that day. Right? I have done that. The devil didn't do it. Samantha didn't do it. I done it. Sometimes we have those. They are of our own making. You need to repent of those. I need to repent of those if I make any of those. Don't blame it on the devil. It was your hand or whatever that it is that you've done. Then there's other times we have tribulations because how many knows we live in a world that has ungodly people in it that yield to the devil. The Bible says that if we're going to live godly in this world, we're going to have persecution. You can't pray it away. You can't get enough faith to make it go away. Jesus said, if we live godly, we're going to have it. So rejoice in it. Woo, it just went right down. Did y'all feel that? Just went right down. My faith don't make all my problems go away. Nobody had any more faith than Jesus. And look at the things the man went through. The Apostle Paul, look at the things that he went through. And he's saying here, telling the Romans, glory in your tribulation. Because see, tribulation, if you yield the right way when you're in the trial, if you yield the right way when you're in the test, it's going to work on something on the inside of you. Have y'all ever watched that, I don't know what they call it, but anyway, they'll take a big log and a guy's got this big old chainsaw. And he's out there and he just starts sawing away on that log. And you're looking at it and you're like, what in the world? He's supposed to be making something. And when you look at it, you're like, what in the world is he going to make out of that? And that big old chainsaw. Well, then he comes down from the chainsaw and now he'll get all the way down to a little chisel. And then it'll be tink, tink, tink here, tink, 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 oh. And when he gets through, it'll be a beautiful butterfly. Or it'll be a big, beautiful bear. Y'all ever seen those? Or what you see sometimes, the ice sculptures. It's just a big, huge block of ice that bears no image of anything except a block of ice. Then they take chainsaws and different things like that. And whenever they get done with it, it'll be whatever the Creator wanted it and intended it to be. It's a process. The ice can't quit. Come on. The ice can't say no. Right? It submits itself to the Creator. According to Scripture, He is the potter and we are the clay. And every born-again believer, one of the things, the main thing that God is doing is every one of us is bringing us to the place to where we bear the image of Christ in our thoughts. Come on, y'all getting too quiet. This is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. In our thoughts. How many knows? Because when your thoughts are not right and they're not right, they can be tormenting. I don't know about y'all, but I have had some tormenting thoughts before. Terrifying thoughts. Not when you think like Him. The Bible says we already have the mind of Christ. Put it on. right? The Bible tells us to cast down thoughts and imaginations that doesn't line up with the Word of God, right? Reasonings that takes place in the mind. So we're to bear the image. We bear it on the inside, in our spirit. But he says it's God that works within us both to will and to do. What's that mean? The desire and the doing of it, of His good pleasure. How many knows you got to let that work take place? See, one time I was having this problem, and I should have got a clue quicker, Johnny, but I'm a little slow without the Holy Ghost sometimes. Oh, and we trust and rely and depend on the Lord at all times. I even had this thought about some people, they get prideful about their faith. Don't ever do that. Number one, it's not yours. How'd you get it? It was hearing and hearing by the Rhema Christos Word of God that God was faithful to send, that caused faith to come. Then when you tell people, I got that by my faith, was he even mentioned? See what I'm talking about? But anyway, I was having this problem, or this tribulation, we'll call it, at one time. Every time we would go out to eat, my order was wrong. If I say I want a cheeseburger, they give me a hamburger, ain't got no cheese. If I tell them I want French fries, I get onion rings. If I tell them I want a BLT, they give me a grilled cheese. I'm not kidding. Scotty's with me. Oh, and the thing about it is, if I have my, I eat my food before I get it, right here. I figure out what I want. I know what it's going to taste like, Sandy, because usually I've eaten it before. And that's what my taste buds is desiring at the time. So I eat my food before I eat my food. So when I get up to the window and I get over there to the park and we park there at McDonald's or whatever, there in that parking lot, and my food comes out and it ain't what I ate, I'm mad. I'm pitching a fit. They didn't even give me no ketchup. How am I supposed to eat these French fries with no doggone ketchup? I know. Y'all, we're talking about me, okay? My tribulation. What did it say? I'm not glorying a bit, Johnny. I'm bringing hell. And go in the store. This is not what I ordered. I ordered this and this and this and this, and you better give me this and this and this, and I want my money back too, and I'm not paying for another one. And don't make me wait. This is fast food. I didn't do that. I don't know where all this is coming from, other than he knows. But I did have this problem. So, okay, go on, get that straightened out, eat that next time. Same thing. Different place, same thing. I'm mad. I look at Scott. I'm not eating that junk. I didn't order that. I don't want that. So, Scotty. Well, I'll go over there and I'll get it. I don't want you to go. I'm not even hungry anymore now. So, next time, this four or five times, I'm not kidding, right in a row, every time we would go out to eat. And Sandy, I'm not clicking here. But then about the fourth or the fifth time, I got it. See, it don't matter what the tribulation is. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoils the vine. See, a lot of times we think it's this big stuff. Somebody punched you in your mouth or something other, called you out your name, you know, took your land that you thought was yours, built their fence. I don't know. But it's these little bitty things. Because see, if you don't conquer these little bitty things, you ain't never going to conquer these big things. David killed the lion and the bear before he ever got to Goliath. So I finally got a clue. The last time I went over there and I got the wrong order from a different place, because we go a different place every time, and it was wrong, I sucked it up, buttercup. I gloried in my tribulation and I choked it down. and said, "Thank you, Lord, bless this food." That didn't happen no more, Sandy. It stopped. Completely stopped. See, it was the tribulation and the trials and the tests is our opportunities to bear the image of Christ and come up to a higher level of land we've never had territory and authority over before. Because see, every time you want to go higher, there's a demon occupying that territory. Why? Because you don't own it yet. But it's been given to you by God. So what you got to do? They persecuting you? What's the Bible say? Y'all don't know what the Bible says? It says bless them, right? If they persecute us, what do? We bless them. Now, that can happen in a lot of different ways. You can bake them a cake. You can whoop a hondo on them, 100 on them. Or you can just pray for them or whatever the case might be. But it has to be something that's going to bless them. The Bible says, as much as lies within you, let there be chaos. Listen, why are y'all getting so quiet? Why are y'all just looking at me? It's okay. This is for our good. God's not saying we ain't been passing tests. But how many knows if we want to take the land that God has given, if we want them to come from the north, the south, the east, the west, and all the rest, and we want to raise up people in here that are not just churchgoers, but they're world changers, right? Then how many know we have to be continually growing and developing. We can't ever stop. Why? Because they'll come in here, they ain't even born again, they'll get born again, then you'll have some, they've been born again for years, different things like that. And when they come to this house, there's got to be spiritual food in this house. And it does not just rely on me, Scotty, and Monty. Because guess what? One day, if Jesus don't come, me, Scotty, and Monty will be gone. And God never intends for a work that He starts to stop. Because if it does, guess what? Churches become bars. Come on now. You ain't never seen it? Churches used to become mosques. Did y'all hear about that one lately? Yeah. Where the Muslims bought the church and turned it into a mosque? Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's get back to this. Get off my food story here. So anyway, whatever your trial, your test, your tribulation is right now, begin to glory in it. Begin to thank God in it. Begin to allow these things to chisel off of you those pieces that's on you that is not like God. To where whenever it comes, that a hardship comes, you bear His image every time. And He is glorified and He is magnified, right? The Bible says, Jesus said, "Let your light shine." Why? So that our Father in heaven would be glorified. They don't even see us, but they see Him. He goes on here. He says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." He says, "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience." James says, "Let patience have its perfect or complete work." Why? So that you, Sandy, will be entire and you won't be lacking anything. Because see, one of the things that faith has to have with it at all times is patience. Because see, you can be in faith, but you got to stay in faith until that answer comes. You got to stay in faith till you get the harvest of that 100%. And how many knows, Johnny, sometimes it may take, what, 2 years? 2 years before your faith is sitting in the pew with you? What if your patience would have failed? What if you hadn't let patience work? What if you'd only let it work 30 days? Because see, your faith can't stay out there any longer than what your patience can keep it out there. The Bible says faith and patience go together. He says, follow those who through faith and patience, not just faith, but faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience always inherit the promises because the promises of God are always yes and amen. But He don't just always slap them on you because sometimes there's an enemy there to keep you from obtaining. But He says if you'll let that patience have its perfect work, you won't be lacking anything. You can be in tribulation and have total peace. The Apostle Paul wrote most of this while he was in prison, but yet he was absolutely free and joy-filled. Right? We can be too. See, I can be out here and be in prison in here. Somebody else can be in prison and they're totally free in here. It doesn't matter where you are. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned. How do you learn something? Going through it and going through it and going through it. Right? He said, I have learned whatever state I'm in, whether I've got enough to eat and enough clothes to wear or I am freezing and I'm fasting because I ain't got nothing to eat. I have learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. What's he saying? I don't pitch a fit. I don't think everybody else ought to be doing something for me. Right? So he says, if you'll let patience have its work while you're in the tribulation, you'll be entire and you won't be lacking anything. But if you quit, if you pitch a fit, that's what it means to quit. You pitch a fit, you come out from under it. That job, it seems like it is just, you can't hardly take it anymore. Right, Scotty? It was prophesied over him. We didn't have a clue what he was talking about. We hadn't even been saved all that long. And Scotty was working at J&H, and things had changed. Now he's a different person. Now he reads his little New Testament pocket Bible, you know, on his lunch break and different things like that. And he's being persecuted and persecuted and persecuted and talked about and taunted and all different kinds of things like that. And his name was Rory Ralph. His prophet had come to church. He don't know us. We didn't know him. First time we'd ever even seen him. And he called him up from the front row, and he told him, he said, I see you. He said, there's a lifeline coming from you, he said, that holds up the church. He said, and you are the stake. He said, and you are being beat down and beat down and beat down. And Scotty's like, yes and amen and yes and amen. Because at the time, it felt like to him, he is being beat down to the point to where he's going to be crushed. But how many knows if you're going to be here? Right? We didn't know he's talking about he's going to be a pastor of a church, that he's going to start a ministry. Now we know Jesus is the head and the stake of all things, right? He's the chief cornerstone. But how many knows without Scotty, this church wouldn't be here? It was the call of God. That's what one thing apostles do. They begin works of ministries. Then sometimes they'll put others in charge of it. But at that time, he felt like he was being beat down, and he was beat down, and he was beat down. But he had to submit himself to the beat down and not quit. He could have quit, found another job. He knows how to do all kinds of things. He could have left there, but he didn't. He stayed. And then, y'all know the story or whatever, the day come, he's praying for about a year to get in his own business. One day they sell out, Cahaba Valley's going to take over, and I believe it was the same day Preston came over there and said, let's go in business together. Is that right? See, he stayed and submitted to the beat down, what he felt like, things that wasn't right. Now, he did quit one time because he got mad because he thought they wasn't doing right. But how many knows we're called to endure hardship and be a good soldier doing it? If we're pitching fits and running from everything, we're never going to grow and develop. We're never going to gain any kind of territory. And it doesn't feel good while you're going through it. It feels like it's unjust. It feels like times, God, where are you? When people are doing you wrong, and they're really doing you wrong. He didn't say they'll be not be doing you really wrong. You're in the right, but they're doing you wrong. We're called to suffer that. But how many knows that's working something of an eternal weight of glory on the inside of me and you? And God says if there's any wrong done to, He will repay. We're supposed to bless and not curse, right? That was supposed to be my side note, I thought. He goes on and he says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope, or you could say a confident expectation. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He goes on, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, or peradventure for a good one will one die. But verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says, much more than being justified by His what? What did it say? By His blood. Right? What do you got up there, Beth? You got the Amplified, and am I reading the King James? Oh, sorry. No wonder y'all don't know where I'm at. Anyway. Can you put the King James up there instead of... Well, no, just wait, because I'm going to go on down. Now, anyway, we're going to skip on down because I'm not going to read the whole thing there. Skip down to verse... let's see. Well, let me just paraphrase a little bit before I go to that verse. Now, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. God created Adam and Eve, and He told them, He put two trees in the garden. He said, this one is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is the tree of life. He says, do not eat of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Well, they was persuaded, right? Because later on, here come the devil, and he began to talk to Eve. I don't know where Adam was. Maybe he's standing there. Maybe he's off picking apples. I don't know. Anyway, the devil begins to talk to her. And she says, God said for us not to eat of that tree. Don't even touch it lest we die. She's convinced of the will of God, right? Her and Adam, they know. Then the devil, he does the same thing to me and you. Then the devil says, surely you shall not die. Surely, Sandy, you ain't supposed to be going to that church when it seems like Teresa's getting on your last nerve. Surely you'd be better off and your gifts and talents would be appreciated somewhere else. Surely you ain't supposed to be at that church now. But when you first come, right? You knew. You can't tell me He ain't told you some of that stuff over all these years. He does the same thing in every area of our life. See, faith begins wherever the will of God is known. But His job is, because He wouldn't be the devil if He didn't, is to get you out of that faith. Get you unpersuaded. Get you wavering, double-minded, to where now you don't know the will of God anymore. And He told her, surely you will not die. For God Himself knows that the day you eat of this tree, you will be like God. The Bible says she looked at the tree then and saw that it was good for food. A tree to be desired. See, anytime He comes to you where you know the will of God and He starts talking, you better quit listening right then. I'll be married 41 years, the 11th of this month. I just about divorced him last month, and I ain't playing. I ain't kidding. But see, Johnny, I know, and I have known all these years, that that man is the will of God for me. And that I am the will of God for him. But any time, when that smart mouth starts talking. See, y'all see him in the spirit. I get the flesh at home and the spirit. Don't look at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Because I know. I'm married. Because when it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, gosh, it's hell. Travis, yeah. But see, the thing about it is you got to cut that off. Because he comes, you're fully persuaded of the will of God. But he begins to talk. The Bible calls it reasoning. We're supposed to cast down all that reasoning, right? And then once you begin to reason, then you begin to see images in your mind. Oh, if I could divorce this devil. I tell you right now, I get me another man. Oh, he's going to just love me. I'm going to be like a cinnamon roll to him. Woo! He just wants to eat me up every day. Y'all never have none of that? Those reasonings. You begin to see images of how somebody would treat you, of how good they would be to you. They would not be smart mouth. They would never call me out my name. Give me everything I want right when I want it. I mean, that's never going to happen. You're living in a dream world. But see, that's what he does. He calls us the dream world. He begins to give you thoughts, and then those thoughts begin to show you a movie of how things will be, and it ain't never going to be that way. The devil is a liar. So, needless to say, I'm still married. I didn't divorce him last month. Or last weekend either. Y'all notice I wasn't here Sunday, didn't you? That's the first time I've ever let that happen. But if I don't want to hear his mouth at home, I don't want to come to church and hear it neither. Y'all act like y'all don't got a clue what I'm saying. But see, I know flesh. And I know y'all get in it sometimes. Now, hopefully not as much as you used to. We're all growing and developing, should be. Right? But yeah, if I don't want to... See, y'all have that option. Y'all don't want to come hear him. You just don't. Well, I just did what some of y'all do. I don't want to hear nothing he's got to say at home, so I'm not coming down here and hearing him neither. And y'all was taken care of. Monty did a very good job, I'm sure. I didn't listen to it because I didn't want him to see me on the internet listening. Then tell Scotty I was listening. Because I want him to know. I don't want to hear it. Oh, Jesus. I'm telling you, I'd be glad when a lot of y'all get up here. We're going to hear out everything y'all do. Because I do not like people knowing my business. And you get up here and it's like God just makes you tell it. You know why? Oh, my goodness. Because we're all just people. And he's the same God for us all. If he can keep me married for 41 years, you better believe he can keep y'all married for however long. Darcy's laughing extra hard. She sent me a message. I didn't even respond to that for a couple of days. I mean, I'm mad, boy. Woo! I guess I ain't been that mad probably 7 or 8 years. But anyway, it says, I love you, Monk, and I'm here if you need me. I thought, I don't need you. I don't need nobody. Just leave me alone. And then I got one from Sandy. I love you. We definitely missed you. I'm praying for you. Yeah, pray for yourself. Oh, gosh, it was Lord. Don't even remove this from Facebook. Then I get one from April. This was, I don't know, a couple of days maybe later, so I'm getting a little softer, you know, because I'm praying for Scotty. Get him, God. You know what he did. I was justified in what I done and said. He started it. If you don't start nothing, they won't be nothing. Because I love the Lord. Whew. So then I get one from April. I love you. I'm praying for you. By this time, it's a couple days. I'm a little bit softer. I let a couple hours go by. I did see it. So did you wrote it. I let a few hours go by and I said, thank you, love you too. A few days later, I sent Sandy and Mama one. Thank you, love you too. Oh, and you're like, and you're doing Sunday school? Yeah! Ain't that the craziest thing? There are no perfect people. See, I'm only up here because I'm called to be up here and I have an anointing to be up here. It's not because I have everything right. It's not because I don't ever get in the flesh. No, I don't. I hadn't 7-8 years till Scotty. Now, you see, I was proud of that, Sandy. Praise God. I've not let it out in about 8 years now. Just have it. How many knows? If you got a limit, it will be found. That's why we have to work on till we get to the place where there is no limit. Because see, there is no limit in the love of God. I had to get out of the love of God to get to that limit. Right? Ooh, my time is up. We didn't even get to where I was going, but anyway. Lord help y'all, don't get in the flesh. We won't see you next Sunday. Does anybody have any comments or testimonies y'all want to share here? All right, well, Risa.